This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Big debate today on the future of Travis Hunter. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I mean, Hunter has definitely become one of the most interesting prospects they've had in a really long time, Perloff. And the fact that he's so adamant about wanting to play a full-time schedule on both offense and defense, he's not leaving a lot of wiggle room here. He's like, I know my body. I know I can do this. Don't draft me if you won't let me play both ways.
Yeah, I think you got to do it, too, because obviously where he's going to draft, it's going to be a bad team. They're going to have a lot of leeway. Like, even if he's not great at receiver, he's not, like, the best receiver, he's still going to be good on the teams that we're looking at. We're talking about the Titans and the Browns and the Giants, like these 4- and 5-win teams. They have a lot of room to experiment here, so why not? Why not do something no one else has ever done?
Well, because I'd be worried that he'd get hurt. I'd be worried my investment would be sidelined. And here's my thing. I don't understand why it just has to be so much about the full-time schedule. You know, even Deion didn't do that. You know, Rod Woodson, anyone else who was, you know, played a little bit sparing, you know, a little bit on offense, but their primary role was defense. Like, I don't understand a guy who hasn't played a snap yet, you know, kind of calling their shot in this way. Let's see how you transition to the NFL. Is that not fair to ask a GM or a coach to say, let's see how you handle just the workload of trying to play one position to an elite level?
Right,
and then we can talk about the adding the whole other side of the ball.
Right, but you saw him do it at a totally unprecedented level in college. That's why it's different. It's not like he's just some normal guy. No one has ever done what he did at Colorado. I think.
Over 700 snaps on both offense and defense.
No one I've ever seen done that. So that's his argument. It's like, hey, I did this at a high level. And listen, I understand you're saying he hasn't done it in the NFL, but we haven't seen Cam Ward throw in the NFL, and we're still psyched to draft him. So I just think that you have to project in his uniqueness in college. If there's anyone who can ever do this that we've ever seen, it's him. Has anyone ever been close to this? No, Deion.
Yeah.
But even he's way ahead of Deion. Deion didn't play receiver at Florida State.
No, I understand it. I guess I would just say, I don't understand being so rigid about it, right? Like, that's my thing. And listen, I don't think he would, and Deion has said, like, he'll step in. I guess I don't understand the rigidity. Now, Pine Needles in the chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet. The guy's been absolutely great on both sides of the ball his entire career. Why in God's name are you guys trying to sell him short now? I'm not trying to sell him short. I'm trying to protect him, though, for the transition from college to the NFL, which is hard enough when you're just doing one position, let alone to say, all right, go out there and we're going to need you, you know, lining up against Justin Jefferson on one side, and then we're going to need you to catch the game-winning touchdown for us on the other side. I just think that's a lot to ask of any rookie.
That just got me fired up. Let's do that. Yeah, but I mean, I think you're worried about the injuries. Probably might as well do it when you're 22 years old. That's your best chance. If he doesn't start out doing that, it's not going to be like 4 years down the road. I think, like, especially like there's no expectations to win. I think this is the time to do it. Try it. If it turns out like he gets hurt, then maybe you go the other way. I would start out with both ways and then pull it back. You can't really start out a cornerback and then say, we're going to mix you in a wide receiver. That'll just be kind of lame, I think.
Oh, man, I did totally disagree.
Like, he's not going to become a number one wide receiver after playing 3 years of cornerback.
No, but do you have a couple plays for him here, a couple plays for him there, and then you realize, all right, he can actually do this, and then you continue to work him in as, you know this, with guys for athletes, a lot of them, they hit their athletic prime, like, in their later 20s, you know?
Well,
a lot of guys, because it's the combination of your head, you get understand more of your body, you become, you know, obviously, like, smarter, and you're still at your physical peak. I think a lot of guys reach their peak at, like, 26, 27, 28.
Yeah, football is getting younger, though. Like, running backs are ancient at 27. Wide receivers are starting to get toward the end at 28. I just think, like, I looked at the Eagles had two young cornerbacks who were pretty awesome this year.
Well, they had an awesome team, though. That's not what Travis Hunter's not walking into the Eagles.
Well, I'm just saying, I think for what we're trying to do here with Travis Hunter, I think it's fine to try this when you're young. When you're 28, like, this is the end of time for a wide receiver. I also think that you don't have to target him every time. Like, if you're a wide receiver, if you, say, get five targets a game, you're not taking that much extra contact. You're just running some extra routes. Maybe I'm being totally naive here, but I don't feel like that's so much punishment on his body to play both these particular positions.
You're still giving max effort, though, in running your routes.
No, you're not. Do Randy Moss and mail it in when you're not getting the ball.
Well, that's not exactly elite. 855-212-4227. I guess there's another part of this, too, where I really do wonder, and even if his intentions are good, how does it come across when you're like, I want to do this? And even if it's a bad team, as long as I can do this thing I want to do, then I'm cool with it, right?
Well, I think it's better to do it in advance rather than to actually get drafted and then say it. So maybe can you give him an edge? At least he's being very clear about it and communicating. It would be terrible if a team drafted him and then he said, hey, I'm doing this or I'm sitting out. This is probably the better model.
Yeah, I guess maybe if I'm looking at a guy and I'm trying to draft him and he's a unique talent, I think I want him to say, whatever you need me to do. You know, like, whatever you think you need me to, you know, do to be successful, then all right, I'm willing to do it. And whether that's playing defense and also returning kicks and punts like Deion did, but he's saying he doesn't want to do special teams. He's saying I want to do offense and defense and I don't have time for that third unit. So, like, we're really calling our shot here for a guy who's never even been to an NFL training camp, are we not?
Yeah, but it's a guy who won the Heisman and did something we've never seen in college football. So, no, I don't think it's a crazy call or shot. I mean, like, Kobe called a shot and he didn't even play college basketball. Like, I think in the NBA, we wouldn't even notice this because, I think more players should do this, by the way, too. Should say, if you're secure enough and if you don't need the money that desperately, say, I don't want to go to this franchise. I think it's a smart thing to do. If I'm looking around, I don't want to be on Tennessee right now. I don't want to be on Cleveland.
Okay, but see, I think that Travis Hunter's saying, I'll be on Tennessee and I'll be on Cleveland as long as you let me do my thing.
Yeah, and I think that's smart. I think he should do that. That's what if I was advising Travis Hunter, I would say go for it. I would not say, because just think about this. Say he goes to Cleveland number two.
Yeah.
And he's a cornerback.
Yeah.
How boring is that? Like, what's the point? Like, he goes from this magical superstar who's on the Mount Rushmore of current athletes to just Christian Gonzalez or whatever, like a good cornerback. Who cares? He's like completely disappear.
Well, because this isn't just about next year. And this isn't, if you're going to a bad team and you're investing this much into a draft pick, you hope that you have him for the next 10 years, Pearl. And it's not really, you know, yeah, it's an entertainment league, no doubt about that. But I also want someone who's going to help me win games. Now, nobody who goes to the Browns outside of an all-time quarterback is going to get them out of the ditch right now.
I was going to ask you, would you feel differently if Hunter was saying, this is what will make the team better? Like this, like if you want to win football games, I need to be playing both sides. Because it sounds like maybe that's, because you're asking, like, this sounds selfish. He's always talking about me. Would it be different? He was saying, if you want to win games, you need to play me both sides.
And I would say the best way that we can win games is you being on the field. And I don't know yet that you can handle a full-on workload.
Gotcha.
You know?
Well, like, here's the thing, though. Like, it's just also, he's a bit of a tweener at both positions. He's listed at 6'1". I don't know. Did he get measured at the combine? He's just not a typical surefire. He's not Marvin Harrison Jr. It's not that obvious a wide receiver. And it's not that obvious a cornerback. So I don't know that you take him at either position in number two overall. We're talking about Cleveland.
Yeah, totally disagree on corner. He's you definitely think, good enough.
But he's not good enough to go number two overall. If he's just a corner, like, it's very rare to pick a guy that high, and it usually doesn't work out. I guess, like, who was the top corner last year was Quinyon Mitchell. I just looked at this. Witherspoon went 5 to Seattle. He got hurt. But generally, though, the cornerbacks are not going top 5 anymore. It's an unusual pick to do. Well, so why would you
again,
do that?
Again, he's an unusual guy, and I think his like, ball-tracking skills and how he plays as a corner is very elite.
But I think you need three corners in the new NFL. Like, you can't just have, like, one shutdown's fine. You just avoid them. I think you need, like, a lot of cornerbacks now. I don't know if teams are going to do that. Also, cornerbacks, so I guess they don't get paid as much, so he's going to want to be a wide receiver.
See, again, it's now we're talking about we're talking about his second contract. We haven't even got through the first one. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, I mean, you know? Like, what's the difference between this and Lamar Jackson not wanting to work out a running back for teams?
Well, okay.
A receiver or running back, whatever it was.
Yeah, when Lamar said, I'm a quarterback, I'm not going to be a wide receiver or something like that. Yeah, that's his position, one position that he knows he has to master. He didn't say, I don't want to play wide receiver, I'm going to play quarterback and, you know, DB or something like
right,
that.
Right, but so he was dictating terms to teams. Like, isn't it a similar dynamic?
I think that he was not asking to take on more of a workload, right? He's saying, I only want to do one thing. And by the way, that was only Bill Polian, right, who said that he would have him as wide receiver. I think there were plenty of teams who wanted Lamar Jackson.
I saw a report that teams want Milroe to work out at other positions, Jalen Milroe, and he's saying no. I think this happens, especially from high school to college. It happens all the time. You say, no, I think this debate has happened before, and I think players are smart to dictate. Listen, I don't want to play that position.
Right, but here's the thing, right? If Jalen Milroe is telling people, like, I don't want to work out at any other position, I'm a quarterback or nothing, then he's going to have to live with the consequences of that. And
same with Travis Hunter.
Same with Travis Hunter. And I just don't understand why you would sacrifice either your draft, like, positioning or anything because you're so insistent on doing this thing.
But you can understand why a quarterback would want to stay a quarterback and avoid switching positions.
Yeah, but nobody is saying that Jalen Milroe is going to be a first-round pick. Like, you know, no one's saying Jalen Milroe is not coming off of a great season. He's going to have to live with that consequence, whether or not he makes it as a QB.
Yeah, I just think it's smart. Like, communicate in advance. This is what I want. And if it's what he wants, I kind of admire him. And like you said, more of a workload. Like, this is not a player who's being necessarily selfish. Like, he wants to do it all. Like, and I do think what EJ said is true. Like, I think he thinks he can help a team by playing two ways. Probably, and you know what? He can if he stays healthy.
Yeah,
big if.
I think if you asked a lot of professional athletes, they would feel like, you know, the 12th man on the bench in the NBA probably feels like, if I could only just play 36 minutes, I would help this team. Like, they're... Every athlete has to think that way. Everyone has to think, I want to be up, bases loaded, two outs, bottom of the ninth. Like, you don't get to where you are unless you think that way.
Right. But Travis Hunter has some proven success. He's a complete unique athlete.
Who has not played a snap in the NFL yet. Adrian is in Maryland. What's up, Adrian?
Maggie, 100% agree with you. Hasn't played a single snap. Some of the media outlets, they're setting this kid up to fail, actually. I've heard some places say he's going to shut down half the field. These NFL guys take that stuff personal, especially wide receivers. CeeDee Lamb, Jefferson, Jamar Chase, they all are going to try to torch him just to sacrifice him into the league. So we got to slow down. I think he just has to pick one position. And as they say, okay, play one or two plays, three plays a game at the other position, at the receiver, and then go from there. But when you think you're just going to come into the league and play, 50, 60 plays, playing wide receiver and DB, I don't think it's going to happen.
Adrian, thanks for the call.
Again, we should ask everybody, like, what would you put him at? Because I think you have to make that decision. If you don't want to play in both ways,
Yeah, what is ETA?
And I don't think it's an easy answer.
He's been interviewed by different teams for both. Some are bringing him in as a wide receiver. Some are bringing him in as a DB. Tyler's in Portland. What's up, Ty?
Hey, okay, so Maggie, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Are practices in the NFL harder today than they were, let's say, when Deion played?
I mean, probably when Deion played, right? There was very few limitations.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we have a college player that's done something no one has ever did at this level, play both sides this much.
Yeah.
Deion said he could do it. Deion's been through it at a harder level. So I have to trust Deion because he's seen this kid all year around. And quite frankly, none of us know. So why not give him a shot, man? I mean, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, this is the one thing, though, Tyler. I think it sounds like a fan's perspective. And I don't think that's how front offices are thinking. Like, let's just give it a shot, roll them out there. I think they're much more risk-averse and calculated.
I tell you what, Maggie, he will get a chance. And I bet you anything he will prove himself. Now, that's just a fan talking.
Yeah.
But like I said, practices aren't as hard. Okay, it's all about conditioning. The guy definitely has a work ethic that is out of sight.
Clearly, yeah.
I mean, I would say watching him do what he did at the level he did it, that he definitely deserves a shot.
Tyler, see, here's the thing, though. I think this is where the disagreement comes in. I'm wondering, why does he have to play the full time on offense and defense? I'm not saying he can't.
If he can, why not?
Well, can he? You don't know and I don't know.
Well, I did it, Colorado.
Look. Maggie, you know, there's all kind of instances that you can say, no, you can't do that to anyone throughout history and time. And that just drives someone harder to say, yes, I can do that. And I know I can do that. And we're going to see it. And I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Listen, I hope he can wow us and dazzle us, Tyler. And thank you for the phone call. And I hope that we get, but I'm not expecting, and if I were the GM, I would not, and coach, I would not put that full two-way workload on him.
Let me ask you one question here. Yeah. Does the fact that it's going to be a terrible team, in your mind, give it more leeway to this experiment? Like, these are bad teams with losing records. They can experiment. They can fool around because there's nothing to gain or lose. Why not try something different?
Well, I'm going to disagree with you there because I think it's actually like a team-by-team basis. If you're telling me you don't think the New York Giants head coach and GM feel like they have nothing to lose this year, that's absolutely false. They are looking down the barrel, staring down, getting fired.
Well, they definitely should play him. The Giants in particular should play him both ways because they're so awful roster-wise. But I understand what
Cleveland
you're saying.
Cleveland also could be on the hot seat. So yeah, it's tough for me to say that.
If you're on the hot seat, then you definitely want to play him.
Exactly.
Both ways.
I can't say you have nothing to lose. Like you've always something to lose.
No. I think those teams, like, they're going to want it. They don't care about his health. They're just going to throw him out there every down that they can. But generally, I'm saying, but if you're 3-14, like, there's no expectation. No one thinks that Giants are winning the Super Bowl next year. Like, you can mess around a little bit. I understand. Dable in particular could be like, if he got Hunter, which I think would be a great fit. I think the Giants would be amazing. He could say, like, look, I've showed this unprecedented success with this guy going two ways. That might really help him keep his job. If you just draft him and stick him a cornerback and the Giants go 7-10, that doesn't do anything. I think Dable would be very tempted to try a new experiment and, like, make a name for himself. Like, I'm the coach who figured out Travis Hunter. He's definitely playing both ways in New York. That's a one team I can guarantee you he will line up both ways.
855-212-4227. I would love to know the overlap, if you will, the Venn diagram of people who think that Travis Hunter should play both ways and people who think that Shohei Ohtani should play both ways and pitch and hit. Because I don't think it's as overlappy as we think. And I know because I sit next to somebody and you who thinks that Shohei should not pitch anymore, yet you want Travis Hunter to play snaps on both sides of the ball.
Well, I think that Shohei, because of the nature of MLB pitching right now, in my mind, like, every pitcher, just every time you get out there and throw the ball 102 miles an hour, you're going to get hurt. I feel like Hunter's playing cornerback and wide receiver. It's not that hard to stay healthy. Just, like, keep him out. Don't tackle anybody. And, you know, take off every third snap. Yeah. Actually, don't even put him out there on first down in a run situation.
I love that Perloff thinks somehow that football is easier to avoid injuries than baseball, number one.
Yeah, than pitcher. For sure. It definitely is.
Okay. And also that anyone could play, get out on an NFL field as someone with the type of makeup and the expectations of Travis Hunter and can play half speed.
Well, I think
that's That's impossible. That's an affront to him.
Well, Randy Moss and all the great receivers mail it in on certain plays. Of course, like if it's first down,
if he's
going to
mail it in on a play, then don't be out on the field for that play.
Oh, come on. Why receivers can conserve energy? I don't think. Obviously, if it's first down and you're going to do a 3-yard off tackle run, like he doesn't need to burn down the field for 30 yards, Maggie. Come on. I know what you're saying.
I just love it. It's like Shohei's in real danger, but somehow Travis Hunter isn't. And one's a collision sport and the other one's not.
There's no position in sports worse than pitcher. I mean, name a pitcher who's not going to have surgery, and I will disagree. I mean, wait. Like, show me one. Who's a young pitcher who's not going to have surgery on his arm?
I can tell you. Well, who's the football player who's got a clean bill of health? Nobody. And not even Travis Hunter, who did miss games at Colorado. 855-212-4227. All right, you can vote on our poll at Maggie and Pearl. Can Travis Hunter be successful playing both sides of the ball? We also have some interesting drama that's going on right now. More fallout from the Luka trade. We're hearing from all parties now, and someone's calling BS, and it looks like they're calling it on LeBron. 855-212-4227. It's M&P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show, debating whether Travis Hunter should play both ways in the NFL. I don't understand why everyone, it feels like Maggie, you and most of our listeners are saying he can't do it. But who would have ever said he could have done it at Colorado? You picked the dude to win the Heisman. Saw something special. He's amazing.
I know. Made some money off of Travis. No, and it's not that I'm saying he can't do it. I'm talking about the insistence on doing it at the NFL level when you've never played an NFL snap. That's all I'm saying. What? Have a few plays for you. I get you want to show your skills, but to do this full time, both sides, I just feel like you're asking for trouble in his rookie season.
You know, if you ever listen to a Travis Hunter interview, though, the guy's he's pretty humble. Like, he's not.
No, he's not. He doesn't come across as a me first guy. It's just he's being very insistent.
Well, he said it's up to the organization. Whoever drafts me, I'll do what they want. I mean, he did say that.
He also said, if you're not going to play me on both sides, then don't draft me.
He's said mixed things on this. He also said it's ultimately up to the organization. Like, he's a good dude. Like, I don't think you have a character problem with Travis Hunter.
Never said that.
At all. No. I'm not saying, like, he's not going to. I think if you draft him, I don't think he's going to play super hardball on you. Maybe you disagree because you think of Deion, who will play hardball. But I think you're going to get a great young player on your team. I would draft him super high. I think he's just going to be a unique. I think he's a Hall of Famer. Like, how often? Abdul Carter, probably a Hall of Famer, and he probably a Hall of Famer. Those are the two guys in this draft. I'm like, wow, I would jump all over.
Yeah, I don't know about Abdul Carter with this foot thing. We talked to Dr. Rock Positano, world-renowned podiatrist, yesterday, and while he said no surgery for Abdul Carter, the pass rusher out of Penn State, he did say this is probably a chronic issue that he's going to deal with through his whole career. That scared me a little.
Yeah, but Dr. Positano didn't say he had to drop that far. He said if you could stabilize his foot, he could play.
Let's go to the phones. Neil is in San Diego. You're on the Maggie and Perloff show. What's up, Neil?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to weigh in on the conversation and why I think Travis Hunter is a fantastic player, amazing two-way college player. I'm just doubtful that he could play up to that level in the NFL because in today's league, there is so much preparation, film work, meeting, practice that goes into the wide receiver position and the DB position just to be able to play that position effectively and run the whole route tree and just be a beast at that position. You have to put so much into it. I don't think there's enough hours in the day and the days in the week between games to fully practice for the other side of the ball and put all that preparation in. I mean, I think that he could be probably good both ways, but to be great both ways, I just don't think it's possible. There's just not enough time involved for everything you have to do in today's league.
Yeah, Neil,
to get ready for that.
It's an interesting point, and you know, especially in this day and age, Pro, where you got games on Wednesdays, Thursdays, Sundays, Mondays, some of your weeks get real short.
Well, it's the NFL's rocket science. You have to spend 20 hours a day studying tape. I think some of that is overrated. Like, it's a good point. Like, the meeting schedule is going to kill him. That's probably true. But partly, a wide receiver especially, you dictate what he can do. He's not going to maybe learn the whole route tree, but put him out there and say, these are the things you're going to do. I think a smart coach could figure this out, right? Like, he doesn't have to be, like, the primary receiver. He doesn't have to be a number one, does he?
No, but you got to know the playbook. I mean, I guess the other part, too, is listen, I think he could handle it from a mental standpoint. Yeah. And obviously the guy's a hard worker. He's dedicated. He's got all of the intangibles of what you'd want in a franchise guy. I guess my thing is, you know, what a lot of people tell us about the transition from college to the NFL is sometimes on college you can get by with your physical gifts. And on the NFL, that's really, really hard. Like, you actually, you have to be a smarter player.
See, again, I'm more of like, do you think that Lawrence Taylor was getting by being a smarter player? There's some guys who just let him loose. Like, yeah. Running back, just, I always think, like, running backs are always effective as rookies. They don't need to learn anything. Just hand them the ball, and they just go. Like, I think a lot of this is, some of this football is deep intellectual science is overrated.
Well, I also wouldn't want to maybe compare myself to Lawrence Taylor's, the way he prepped for games. Like, well, being caught in a crack house is, like, not something, that's not sustainable. Lawrence was on his own planet.
Right, but I think, like, that's the level of athlete we're talking about. I see Travis Hunter as an all-time athlete. And we're talking about taking plays off as wide receiver. Randy Moss took more plays off as wide receiver than any receiver I've ever seen, and he is probably the second best receiver to ever play the sport.
Do you think that Travis Hunter is an elite receiver like Randy Moss?
I think he's I think he's an elite athlete like Randy Moss. I think, yeah, like, that's the kind of player we're talking about. I definitely, Travis Hunter fits in any conversation with Randy Moss. Barry Sanders, that's a lot. But yeah, I think he's like a Lawrence Taylor. I think he's an all-time athlete. I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I'm dead serious. I don't know what position. I think he's totally unique. I think he's as close as Deion as we've seen since Deion.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to put him up there with Randy Moss. On the cornerback side, I think that he is elite, but I don't know about for the wide receiver. Robbie is in Wisconsin. He's a very good receiver. Robbie, what's up, dude?
Not much. I appreciate you taking my call on this fabulous Friday.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm not going to put him in the category any Hall of Famer right now. I think you got to earn that.
Yeah, Perloff's off his rocker today.
Yeah, I just can't give it to you. You got to earn it. But just, you know, I play high school ball, and I had the luxury of playing both ways. I'm far from an NFL player. Play some college ball, and I've coached and trained high school athletes. And I'm just going to tell you, the athlete does matter, right? If there's a skill set for him, you have to find a way if you want to win. It doesn't have to be the whole game.
Yeah.
But Hunter has the ability to from an offensive standpoint, I'll bring you in jet sweeps. You know, maybe a third or fourth down, I could see him. Cornerback, I would have him out there full time. You know, I'll have him out there on every play. But I do question his tackling ability in the NFL, where it comes to, you got bigger running backs, you got bigger players.
Sure.
I think he's going to be an outstanding cover corner. But again, there's a lot of room for him to grow, and I think it's going to be very situational.
You're going to have to tell him not to. Did you ever watch him hit somebody? Dude, that guy can, if he wants to lay the wood, he has hit people.
Yeah.
You're going to have to tell him, don't get involved in the running plays. I know that sounds bad, but just like stay out of, like, because he's kind of a hitter too.
No, he is. Thank you, Robbie, for the phone call. It's interesting about like the jet sweeps and stuff like that. You know, sometimes on some of those jet sweeps, you can find yourself like pretty vulnerable. Like,
God, I love the jet sweep. Like, you don't have to learn any playbook there. Just run around. That's a great play for him. By the way, I don't think like comparing him to Randy Moss and Deion Sanders, like, he's been compared to Deion since he was 16 years old. Like, that's a totally apt comparison. That's not crazy. Like, I mean, he's such a different, unique athlete.
I don't think anyone's compared him on the wide receiver end to Randy Moss.
No, but as the athlete, like, it wasn't as Randy Moss was the greatest wide receiver. He was like one of the great athletes to ever come. You ever see him return a punt? It was insane. I think like, as far as like just superior NFL athletes, I think Travis Hunter is totally superior.
I know. I guess what I'm factoring in is, does your elite cornerback skills get watered down if you're playing a full time on the offensive side too, right? Like, you feel no effects? It doesn't impact you at all in a negative way to be playing both sides in the NFL, not the Big 12.
Well, I don't know. If you're Deion would fly to Cincinnati to play a baseball game, and then like he wasn't in any meeting rooms. Deion didn't do any of that stuff. And
one of him.
I think there's two of them. I think that's what I'm trying to say. I think he's so unique as an athlete. He can do this. Like, he could be the exception to the rule. And I'd have to look at the tape. I don't know how effective Deion actually was. Maybe that's all legend. was, but Deion didn't really go to any meetings, and he shut down everybody. Nobody threw anywhere near Deion because you didn't want to get him intercepted and then running sideways into the end zone.
Yeah, and high-stepping right in your face. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines. By the way, you can go vote on our poll at Maggie and Pearl about Travis Hunter, and you can call us at 855-212-4227. Bogues.
Guys, The Athletic's now reporting that the Rams will host Matthew Stafford at their facility later today. Stafford has discussed a two-year deal with at least $90 million guaranteed with the Raiders and the Giants. So one way or another, we may be close to a resolution here, whether he stays in L.A. with something similar to those contracts or they decide to trade him to one of those two teams. Travis Kelce will play for the Chiefs next season. No retirement yet. And next season's salary cap officially set at a record $279.2 million. That's nearly $24 million more than this past season. But as friend of the show, Andrew Brandt keeps pointing out, there's a lot of built-in salary growth from year to year. So this doesn't mean that teams simply have another $24 million to spend this offseason.
You mean they already spent it?
It's already been spent, yeah. I guess maybe there's, like, you could kind of, like, say, like, on the back door now, like, because you're the money that you were was going to grow just naturally now is accounted for, and it wasn't accounted for, but this doesn't mean that all of a sudden everyone now can afford a new left tackle. You're yeah, not just getting it's not like a handout check.
Also, too, all the other teams have more salary cap space.
That, too, as well.
Yeah.
Luka and the Lakers just rolling along.
Luka has to throw up a prayer. It goes! He threw in a three to beat the shot clock, and it went in. He's been unable to hit a three all night. And then just to beat the shot clock, he threw up a contested three. And look at J.J. Redick. He's just laughing.
Sean Ireland on Lakers Radio. Luka, 21 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists. LeBron had 33, 17, and 6 in this 111-102 decision over the T-Wolves, who also lost Anthony Edwards in the third quarter.
Ant will bring it up here with Dante, Jaden, Nas, and Nikhil. Quickly shoves off on Vincent at the elbow. He fell down to the floor, and then he's tied up. And a technical foul, and Ant's just been ejected from the game.
Alan Horton on T-Wolves Radio. Edwards got his second T because he thought he was fouled there. So did head coach Chris Finch.
I mean, it was a block.
Yeah.
Just call the block, and nothing happens. And after that, you know, I don't really know exactly what was said or not said. But just call the block. I mean, clearly it was a block.
I don't think I share coach's confidence in that being a block. Either way, Edwards also flipped the ball into the stands before leaving the court. He now has 16 technical fouls this season, which triggers a mandatory one-game suspension.
I thought, did anyone else think when you said lost Anthony Edwards, I thought he got hurt. And then he fell in a pile. Whew.
Yeah, that was the beauty of my sentence.
Yeah, I was listening that time.
I know.
I was like, what?
I'm taken aback by that.
Also, Anthony Edwards, I told you guys the other day, he just like two-hand push Shai Gilgeous-Alexander like to the ground. They ended up coming back and winning that game in a crazy fashion. Is he okay? Like,
I think he hasn't recovered from that trade they had for the season.
Yeah.
I think the Carl Anthony have. Towns?
Yeah, I mean, the way he was talking about Cat over the All-Star break, it sounded like he wishes he was still on the team.
Nothing.
No, they're a mess. What
a disappointment. It's a frustration, right, that you can see from Edwards?
Yeah, because I think that they were a team, you're talking about a couple of wins from, well, maybe a couple, but three wins away from being in the NBA Finals, and the team that kind of seemed like the one team on the rise in the West, and now they're kind of in the middle of the pack with everybody else. It's a big step back.
But Randall's coming back, right? You like Julius Randle. Like, they get some guys back, and you squint and see them being dangerous at all. I don't know.
It just seems like those guys who also went to Minnesota also don't want to be there. That doesn't help either. Randall and DiVincenzo have not been good T-Wolves.
I saw it last night on ESPN. They did top five dunks of the season. Mm. And they had Anthony Edwards on. Chet Holmgren was insane, was number two. The number one dunk of the year was
Shaden
our guy.
Shaden
Sharp.
Yeah.
Which we dedicated some good time. And I watched it again. It really, it's not the greatest dunk of all time, but it's not unfair to put that dunk in the conversation. I think... It's funny, I was actually telling my wife about the dunk last night.
Oh, yeah, she was riveted by
that. She said, what the heck are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, he's from Canada, and he could jump out of the roof, and she shut me down.
So she's in Indianapolis at a work
No, she's back.
Oh, she's back.
Yeah.
You welcomed her back with this story.
Honey, so glad to see you. You'll never guess what Shaden Sharp
in the other. I was on my phone, which phones really exist to have NFL, NBA highlights on them, and she's like, what are you watching? I'm like, oh, watch this dunk. She didn't care.
I do that with Andrea too, and like you would think the athletic feats would be the thing. Maybe you don't care about the player or the teams, but look at this guy, and like it doesn't do
it's
anything.
It's like, wow, they're cool, like, okay, good for you.
Yeah,
I'm true.
No, but my wife is all in, by the way, on the brackets that are coming up.
Did she win one year?
I think she was either first or second in our bracket next year. And I hope everyone here's spouse, except for and future spouse for EJ and Manny's imaginary girlfriend, I hope they're all involved in the bracket this year.
He's not even... We're past that.
You know what's going to happen?
Even
now,
imagination says no.
What's going to happen now is somebody's going to enter the bracket challenge as Manny's imaginary girlfriend.
Yeah. Right. Manny's kiss cam partner.
Yeah. It's going to be the race to the first person to take that name.
I Frenched that thing like I was in Paris.
Yeah, she lives in Canada, guys. Yeah.
Samter, I put my tongue in that thing.
Jesus, Manny. What? Some drop from a different show?
Yeah, I was on the Gelb show.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Oh, really?
Talking about what?
Yeah.
Remember those trumpets and stuff that we use for New Orleans?
Yeah.
God.
It seems as though Samter perhaps played my trumpet after I played it. And, well, Samter, I put my tongue in that thing.
He went sloppy seconds on your trumpet?
Oh, yeah.
Who picks up a random trumpet?
Cut. Whatever is going on right now, this is going to be an FCC violation.
No, this is why Samter misses 9 months of work at a time. Because
he's a bubonic plague from Manny. Who picks up a random trumpet that's in the office and decides to put it up to their lips? Samter, you got to be smarter than that.
That's bizarre. That, like, it's the one thing that you know has been in somebody's mouth.
100%.
There's other things where you can say, oh, maybe, you know, basketball or whatever you want to shoot around. It's like this thing, this is the only way this thing is functional.
Yeah. Or at the very least, it's been laying out in the disgusting open air of our newsroom.
Yeah, where like...
Who knows what we're breathing
75% of the people have been sick for the past 2 months.
There was a time where they had our carpets checked because there were black spots, and they could not determine what the substance was. And Sanders out there just chugging trumpets for fun.
Hoping for mold.
Right.
I have a buddy who, when I'm drinking bottled water, asks for a sip of that bottled water.
Can't.
That's a huge transgression, right?
And did he put his mouth on it? Or do you said no?
No, he said he always says, can I have a sip? I think he's not going to. Yeah, he's going to put his mouth on it.
Like, you can't just like hold it so that it has this little space.
But even that's gross. But yeah, because he is obviously whatever. I don't know. It bothers me every time. And also, you can't share soup at a restaurant, right?
Ooh, can I have a spouse?
Well, no, this happens with you and me. Can I have a bite of your soup?
A bite of your soup?
Well, like the soup. Like,
did give you a bite of my soup.
Yeah, we did. This actually came up because there was gumbo or something.
But you
New
took
Orleans.
The first bite.
Yeah.
With separate spoons
with
at least?
Separate spoons.
Don't say of course. He just asked if you can share soup at a restaurant.
But I think I gave you the first bite.
It comes up a lot.
Clearly.
I did offer you some.
Every restaurant I go to, I order the lobster bisque. And everyone's like, ooh, can I try a bite of that?
But if it's family, and I give you the first bite of the gumbo, and then no one else took another bite, you can have a clean spoon first in.
Yeah, that's you. That's a very smart way to go about it.
I know. I would share soup with my husband at a restaurant.
Oh, yeah, with a spouse, right?
Yeah.
But no, I would not touch anything that has been against anyone else's lips in this building.
It's also pretentious to just be like, hey, like, let me just take that water and think that you'll be okay with that. That's kind of crazy to me.
No, he asks.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm saying even to ask. I'm just like, what?
Yeah, it puts me in an odd situation.
Yeah, because you
say no, you look like the jerk, even though you're not being safe.
It's not good.
What do those black spots end up being, by the way, Bogues?
I don't think they were ever diagnosed.
It's either blood or mold.
But waiting back from the CDC, we should get an answer soon.
This is something like from the Marvel universe. This might not be from planet Earth. These black spots here. Like,
alien symbiote.
We haven't seen anything like this since Wuhan.
They just did construction. They just closed the room off. They sealed it. It's our old newsroom. This is where the carpet was. Oh, that doesn't exist anymore. That's all they did. They just like, let's put the walls up.
Just condemn it.
Yep.
There you go. That'll take care of it.
But get back to the question. Has a blow-up doll ever won our tournament bracket? We're going to find out this year.
Oh, my God.
Manny's significant
you
other.
Circled back for
evolved.
A second shot at
I've been
Manny?
Holding, I've been sitting on that joke.
Blow-up doll came on. I didn't know what you were talking about until we got to the end of that.
Honestly, probably is a better shot than any of us.
Yeah, by the way, not ruling it out.
Dude, does the blow... Oh, my gosh. Now we got to do this.
Oh my
this
God.
This is the one thing I will not order. I've ordered a lot of stuff on Amazon. I'm not, those trumpets that apparently Manny was French kissing, I'm not ordering a blow up doll.
Well, remember that?
Not in my history.
Remember this building had that fake Craig Carton doll everywhere?
It's here still.
It's still here. It's in the back.
Dummy Carton.
There's also some kind of adult toy shaped feet that have been walking around recently. Maybe they can make some picks for Manny.
Walking around.
I'll explain the break. Don't worry.
What?
Yeah. I
mean, we're already Rex Ryan's favorite radio show. Yesterday, we put a live foot on the show.
Second time.
Yeah. Andrea was not very happy about that when I showed her that clip. She was like, why are you showing bare feet?
Well, when you need to figure out what's going on with Abdul Carter's foot, you got to go full bore.
Was it a ratings play? Maybe.
Is it sweeps week?
Yeah. Did our YouTube viewership spike? Maybe.
Yeah. Is it the kind of watchers we want? Not necessarily, but.
You got two eyes and 2 feet. You can watch our show. Folks, thank you. Coming up. Okay. Even more drama when it comes to the NBA. We've got that. And some news for you from the Combine. It's M&P. Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. We'll get back to our Travis Hunter conversation in just a moment. Can he be successful playing both sides of the football, offense and defense? We have a poll question up for you at M&P on X. Right now, 69% of you say no. He cannot be a star and successful while playing full-time on both offense and defense. Mm-hmm. So you can go there and vote.
But you guys don't get to enjoy him when he does it next year.
Sounds like we're hating on him. It's just like, no, we want to see him play and be healthy. But and we'll get back to that in just 1 second. I do want to get to this story about the latest with Matthew Stafford, Pearl. Let's get to that because Diana Russini is reporting that Matthew Stafford is meeting with the Rams today in the facility. And according to reports, it's about $90 to $100 million guaranteed. That's where the Giants and the Raiders, who have both been talking to Stafford's agent, kind of landed. 90 to 100 million. To me, that gets me back on the Rams. If it's $100 million, I'm paying $50 million a year for Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Fine. Like, I was worried he wanted the $60 million of Dak Prescott, and I was worried it was actually going to be 3 years that he wanted. If it's going to be 2 years and $100 million, and I'm the Rams, and I was 20 yards away maybe in a missed blocking assignment from getting to the NFC Championship game and beating the Philadelphia Eagles in the snow, I'm bringing Stafford back.
Oh, my God. In 2 seconds. I don't even know. I don't know how this whole thing even started. Maybe, actually.
It started with the Rams saying, go look for a trade.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if that's the deal that came out.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch.
Visit DirectTV.com. Internet-connected Gemini device. Separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Then maybe that's what the Rams wanted, some cost certainty. I don't think Stafford strikes me as a maybe not play into his 40s guy. Like, I don't know if he wants to play 3 years. So I think you could do it for 2 years. Yeah, it's an absolute no-brainer. And as I keep saying, too, it's not just the Rams. Like, what the heck do the Giants and the Raiders want 2 years of Matthew Stafford? Then what happens after that 2 years is up? Then they're left completely empty.
Yeah,
so that's what I don't understand. I feel like they should be like trying to figure out either to get a young quarterback this year or next year. I don't get the timing for those teams.
I think sometimes teams are looking at a 2 year window and not necessarily looking at a 5 year, 6 year window.
What kind of 3-win team looks at a 2 year window?
I'm just saying, I think there are people who want the Band-Aid, and sometimes it's over a bullet wound, which is really hard. But I think they want a Band-Aid or a microwave or whatever you want to call it to say, we got to get back to respectability. We got to find a way to put fans in the stands, like all that stuff. It's a different calculus when you're a team that's been bad for a while.
But in the NFL, that doesn't happen. You only get the veteran $50 million quarterback and the free when you think you're about to win. I feel like generally, because the problem is if you get that guy, then you're not going to get the next guy. Like, you're not going to find your Josh Allen. You're not going to find your, help me out here, who's another good quarterback? You're not going to find your Patrick Mahomes. If you have Matthew Stafford, you're going to win too many games. You're never going to be able to draft a guy. Your salary cap's all messed up. So the Rams are the perfect team. There's no other team that fits like the Rams. He knows the offense.
So do you think our Stafford situation is resolved by the end of the day?
Oh, my God.
And this was what, much ado about nothing? At least he got a ski trip out of it, right?
Well, it is an NFL offseason, so of course it's much. We're playing, and the agent is playing this like a violin. Like, we're like basically blowing up Matthew Stafford's price all offseason.
Well, but here's the thing. He's actually a difference maker. We're talking about these guys who are going to get drafted at the top and go to these teams, and it's not going to impact winning right away one bit. You know, you send Abdul Carter to a bad team, you're still going to be a bad team. But you send Matthew Stafford to a mediocre team, maybe you see a real difference. Maybe you're now talking about a playoff team. So I kind of get it. I think that it did matter, and it does matter where he plays next year.
No, I know, but I also feel sometimes you get this idea that the agent is playing everybody, that basically he's using the Raiders and the Giants to get more money in L.A.
Well, the Rams told them to go shop.
But then you feel like at the end of the day, like, why did I invest, if I'm a Giants fan, why did I invest so much energy thinking about Matthew Stafford when this was all just a way to squeeze $8 million out of L.A.?
Well, I mean, listen, it all depends on how much you want to pay attention to this stuff. So,
well, I just feel like, once again, I mean, man, you're a Giants fan. Like, you'd be like, oh, God, they just use us and we're going to still stink, and we're, you know, I just feel like the other teams might end up looking stupid.
I don't like football. I don't love this situation. I'm over it all.
I don't think you look stupid for trying. Never look stupid for giving effort. 855-212-4227. All right, we got some major drama here, and someone is calling someone out. I think they deserve to, quite frankly. Get to that next. It's Maggie and Perloff. Don't move.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, Let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.